Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the most scenic highway in Marion County? The drive with the most recreational opportunities. At the top of your list might be G28, the highway that runs north of Lake Red Rock. Believe it or not, it almost didn't happen. Let's go in depth with A.B. Davis and Richard Randall, retired from the Marion County Engineer's Office. Now, A.B., I hear there's quite a tale to be told about the building of G28. Then G28, for the listeners that don't know, is the road that is north of Knoxville that connects to 14 and runs to Pella, and that's G28. But it was a struggle to get G28 where it is, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The Corps of Engineers, in the process of replacing roads, relocating roads that were going to be flooded or dead-ended or bridges underwater, were negotiating locations, and one of the ideas they had for connecting Highway 14 and Pella was to come off of Highway 14, go east a little ways, and then north, skirting around the floodplain of Roberts Creek, and then back down south and then into Pella on the normal route.
And this was because everything was changing because Lake Red Rock and the dam was going, right?
Right. We our mileage in Marion County dropped from 914 miles to 256 right quick by the necessary vacations where roads were under Lake Red Rock floodwater and just had to be closed.
When was this happening?
Well, in the middle 60s, when those negotiations were going on, we had a county engineer who had the foresight, I think, as it turns out, we call it foresight, to argue for and successfully get the Corps to agree to locate G28 where it is today, as opposed to looping north. So it had eyesight and access to Lake Red Rock and a whole lot more locations.
And what was your role then?
Well, I was his assistant, and he just... He said, we need to find a route through here. He says, take this topographic map and see what you can make of it. So I picked out the, what looked like a logical route, drew lines on it, and he thought that was a good idea. So we went to the field and surveyed it on that location.
And you were assistant county engineer at the time?
Yes.
All right, what was this gentleman's name, the county engineer back then?
M.O. Hansen.
M.O. Hansen.
Otherwise known as Mo.
Called Mo?
Yeah.
Mo Hansen? Okay. And Richard, what was your role?
Some of the times I was considered a crew chief, that is when there wasn't any top dogs around ahead of me. And I had several college students that were on the crew, and we went and established the center line through there. We put in what we call a POT, point on tangent, and we had to clear a lot of fairly good sized trees. And one little, I thought an amusing incident was we didn't cut them close to the ground enough and left them maybe 14 inches, 16 inches up, and the grass grew up, and one of the college boys was behind the wheel. And I said, you better let me drive through here. Hop on the back. We had extended the rear bumper about a foot, and then we had a bar across the back. Well, the rest of the boys were inside with me, and Ken got out, and he reluctantly got on up there. And I said, there's several stumps hidden in here, and I know where they are. And we drew along, and wham, I said, there's one right there. And he fell off. The wind knocked out of him, but he got up and was chuckling. For the rest of the week, month, and summer, they always said, let Rich drive. He knows where the stumps are. I never lived that one down.
Well, now, for our listeners, I'd like them to sit and think, what it would be like designing that road and walking through all that timber and stuff that on all those hills. That was quite a task, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but the key way we did it was we located the points of intersection of the lines we drew for the thing, and then ran lines between them. It wasn't like meandering out through the timber and wondering where you're going to wind up, because we knew where we were going to wind up.
Okay, and there was a lot of timber, wasn't there? Lots of hills and valleys?
Yeah, it was about solid timber and pasture. Cows in there that hadn't seen civilized humanity in years. Some dead, some alive, and all of them looked spooked and wild-eyed. But that was part of the adventure.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the history of G28 with A.B. Davis and Richard Randall. Well, and you were just pretty much kids at the time, young men.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was fun. Was it fun? It'd be tough.
Yeah, it was fun.
Tough now, but...
It was work, but it was fun.
And how many miles was that?
The Big Row Lake, or relocation of it, that was through wild country was about 3 or 4 miles.
Okay, and that's pretty much wrapped around the Roberts Creek area.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, each way from Roberts Creek.
Because there was already an old road called the Fifield Road?
Yeah, that was in the bottom, following along the bluff north of the river in the Des Moines River floodplain. That was the one that was being flooded out, and that was the one that was being replaced by this road.
Okay, so everything was new, starting at Highway 14, north of Knoxville, north of, you know, at the G28 turnoff, and then went 3 or 4 miles, and you connected into an existing road?
Well, it came around from 14, about a mile over to what was then known as Trunk J. Then it continued about a mile, and then
we're looking at maps here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it turned right there. Well, there's a junction there now where Brian Morrissey's house is. That's about where we turned and dived off into the wild country.
Hmm. And it was pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, it was pristine Indian country.
Well, lots of thorns and
locust trees.
Richard found one of the thorns, and he ran it up through his tennis shoe into his foot.
Did you?
Yeah, that's poison in those things, too, I'll tell you. That affects you, kind of. You want to avoid it any time after that.
He impressed us that it was really hurting.
Well, and how long did it take to do the survey?
Oh, just that summer, probably, what, a month or two? 2 months, maybe?
Like that.
And then to build the road.
Well, then take this basic preliminary survey information back to the office and reduce the notes, draw cross-sections, and draw the profile of the road, and more or less clear through the process of design. That was wintertime work, and... So then it didn't take long for the crew in the office to finish up all that and get it drafted into a set of plans and then get it ready for contract letting for construction.
Now, did the Corps of Engineers or the state or anybody have to give approval?
Yeah, this was to be a farm-to-market route, so the state highway commission at that time, DOT now, they had to approve any farm-to-market road projects that we did.
That's sometimes referred to as the North Perimeter Road also, isn't it?
Right.
As well as G28?
G28, yeah.
Okay.
And the Corps, you told me once, wanted it further north. Was this a battle, a struggle with the Corps, with the folks in Washington?
Well, not so much in Washington, I think, but the Corps at Rock Island did not want to sacrifice flood storage. It was important because they were paying for this whole project, you know, and based on storing flood water, and if you reduced that storage capacity, it was a big deal to them. So they weren't quick to agree to this location because it was going to reduce some storage.
And so what was your argument against that?
Well, just the proximity to the lake and the benefit for the overall project. At the time, they were kind of agreeing to that line of thinking, but they still didn't want to lose any more storage than possible. So they were going to require a bridge where we crossed the Roberts Creek floodplain, and that was really going to hump the price up for the county. So we pursued the line of, okay, let's impound some water here at a certain elevation that's not going to detract too much, and, oh, no, we can't have that. So we arrived at a price, you know, so many dollars per acre foot of storage, and basically the county bought that storage and created then Roberts Creek Lake at elevation 750.
And was there anything special with making Roberts Creek Lake work to integrate with the rest of the lake?
Yeah, that was one of the selling points, that above elevation 750, the lake could back up backwards through the drainage structure and fill Roberts Creek to the same level as Lake Red Rock. So that 10 by 10 box is elevation 750 at the upper end and 3 foot lower on the lower end. So when Red Rock backs up higher than 750, it floods into Roberts Creek, and then they have the same water elevation on both sides of the road.
I see.
Maybe they wanted 750 for an elevation in Roberts Creek. What's that in relation to the permanent pool?
Well, the permanent pool at that time was 728.
Oh. Yeah. 22 feet difference.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But they've raised it since.
Oh, yes. It's up to 742 now.
Okay.
All right. So sometimes back then, Roberts Creek would be at a higher elevation. Now, I guess now that I think about it, it always just seemed about the same to me, is it not?
Well, since the permanent pool is higher now, it's only 8 foot difference.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about the history of G28 with A.B. Davis and Richard Randall. This was a controversial project, like Red Rock, wasn't it? Do you remember people's thoughts at the time?
I remember towards the east end, we had one obstinate feller to deal with that did not want to give up one inch of ground. And it looks like it when you drive by today. It's still close out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's ever changed his mind about it after 50 years or not, but we were a little bit hesitant about when we took cross-sections through there. We'd say, hurry up, let's get that out of there.
Overall, generally, though, the agricultural community that owned land and farmed that river valley, most of those were violently opposed, you know, and had to, a lot of them had to be condemned by the government to take the ground for the Lake Red Rock project.
There's still people angry today about that.
Oh, sure.
Well, don't you think that the more toward the lake lent to more of a recreational value a lot more than it had gone up two miles or so further north?
Yeah, the people that were in favor of it and pushing it, you know, had, they were just 180 degrees from the landowners. They were promoting the project and lobbying for it and all that. So there's two different factions, definitely.
And you were right in the middle of it, huh?
Right.
Well, the county board of supervisors at the time, they had to be all in favor of this. They must have had some vision then.
Well, I think most people saw it as a potential recreational and growth factor for the county. And they had sympathy for the ones that were opposed to it, too. You know, most supervisors were rural, former farm cow milk and hog feeding people, representing those people that were against it and the ones that were for it.
So do you think that if you mentioned this, the recreational value, Richard, do you think that we wouldn't have that recreational value like we do now without G28?
I think that's probably the case. It lends to the value recreationally. It's we used to have a lake up there with a, what do you call the house, change into your swimming gear. A fellow from Knoxville used to run that. And I don't know whatever happened there, but Bob Tallman used to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Bathhouse, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was used quite often. I would drive by there and see a lot of people out there on the beach. And
well, now, how did you put it earlier when we were getting ready for this interview? You said something, A.B., about what it would be like. G28 had been north, and you couldn't see the lake. What phrase did you use?
Well, you could go from Highway 14 basically to Pella without realizing that off to the south is the biggest lake in Iowa.
Just be a rumor of a lake.
Yeah, just a rumor of a lake.
So can you imagine how our perception of our county would be if we didn't have that drive, if we had a flatter drive without vision of the lake? Sometimes I just take that route because it's so pretty.
Yeah. Well, it accommodated a whole lot of small little picnic and boat ramp areas and county conservation areas that have taken over some of those areas to maintain them and develop them. And that jewel of Roberts Creek Lake would just never have happened.
And Cordova wouldn't have happened?
No.
The Cordova Park, the
right.
Trail.
Right.
All of those trails wouldn't have happened. There's no reason to put a trail out in the middle of nowhere. There's a reason to put a trail, all those bike trails, by a pretty lake.
Water is, to tourists, is just is a magnet. And if they can see it, they want to go to it. If they're not going to splash in it, they just want to see it and be near it. It's like standing on the shore of the ocean and not wanting to splash out in there, but just stand there and absorb it.
Did you know that at the time? Did you think that at the time?
Well, sure. I had just come from Fort Ord, California, where we lived within a block of the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, water is, it's a magnet for people. I don't know. Maybe we came from water.
Did you think about the beauty, the recreational potential, Richard?
Yes, I did. And at one time, if I'm not way out of bounds on that, A.B., was there ever a thought of putting the South Perimeter Road in?
Yes, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we lobbied for that, but the cost of crossing White Breast Valley was going to cost a lot. So we went one time to the governor's office in Des Moines to see if there was a potential for state participation in the cost of providing that, because we thought Red Rock was a state asset and not just a county, and that they might have some interest. And we left that day with the promise that, well, we'll look into it. We never heard another word. So we've got preliminary plans and drawings that are still in the engineer's office, but it just never happened.
Well, a South Perimeter Road would sure be pretty, too, wouldn't it?
It would.
Anything that I didn't know enough to ask that you guys would like to share with our audience today?
Well, just maybe the speed with which all that happened as compared with how things can happen today with the increased red tape and review of different agencies. And, you know, it was important at that time, you know, that we didn't disturb Indian graves or cemetery graves and that kind of thing. But now we have to look out for the crawly creatures, too.
Butterflies.
Yeah, butterflies and bugs and ants or anything that, you know, that might be almost extinct. We have to justify that we're more important than they are.
And so this might not have happened.
It's possible.
I had a question there for you.
Uh-oh.
Isn't the survey taken today considerably different than when we were doing it. I understood that they do a lot of picture taking. Is there not the cross-sectional taken like it used to be?
You can do aerial flight photography that will give you elevations to the near foot, and that's close enough for earthwork computation. Yeah, there's a lot of technology that's improved since we blustered out through there, dragging a steel chain 100 foot long and using a plumb bob through the brush. But when we got back into the office and doing the design work, I have to compliment my friend here. He's the best draftsman I ever worked with. And looking at the plans recently, I see traces of his artistic hand in the drafting. And then in parts of it, I see mine, and I thought I was doing okay, but nothing in comparison.
I'll buy the coffee.
So you guys pretty proud of this?
Sure. Why wouldn't we?
Very much.
Thanks to A.B. Davis and Richard Randall for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.